Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paula Jordana, DJ on the board.
Prince coming through your radio right now.
The one and only.
So good. So
and
good.
That was obviously The Beautiful Ones.
So good.
Named after the track on the Purple Rain album. And I didn't realize this, but before Prince passed away on April 21, 2016, he had handwritten 28 pages, Jor, about his childhood.
I didn't know that either.
And then he passed away, and Prince's estate contacted Dan Peepenbring to see if there was any way that this writer could turn what he had already written into a book.
But is this a guy who never spoke to Prince?
No, he knew Prince.
Oh, he did.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
He hung out with Prince. Okay. And they used photographs, family memorabilia to explain the context of Prince's pages. The Beautiful Ones is the closest there will ever be to a Prince autobiography. It's out right now. And a couple of interesting nuggets, at least stuff that made me do a double take. If you're a Prince fan, you should pick this up or download it on Kindle or whatever. But apparently Prince did not like Katy Perry or Ed Sheeran.
That's not nice.
Well,
I like Katy Perry and Ed Sheeran.
There was a quote, "They keep trying to ram Katy Perry and Ed Sheeran down our throats, and we don't like it,
okay,
no matter how many times they play it."
I'm not going to argue about
apparently
music with Prince, but, you know.
Worried about the future of radio.
Okay.
And maybe the dumbification of radio. I don't know. He was a fan of Kung Fu Panda 3.
So was I.
Well, who isn't?
I mean, who isn't? Jack Black? Fantastic.
But Prince would often hire out the local theater in town, and late at night he would invite friends and bandmates to private screenings.
I get it.
And, yeah, Kung Fu Panda 3 was one of his favorites.
Very funny.
He hoped his autobiography could solve racism.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the book as a way to extend the activism that Prince had begun, especially his work with Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Something that made me do a double take. Most dads, I think, will do a double take. He never was told about the birds and the bees from his stepfather. Yeah, he was apparently his stepfather saved himself from having the talk by taking Prince and some of his friends to what was described as a, quote, raggedy, R-rated drive-in movie.
Nice.
That's where Prince
Here's
learned
some
about
porn. This is how you have sex.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's
That's quality.
Bit of a cop-out,
yeah.
Right?
A bit? Yeah. It's quality parenting right there.
Ouch. Anyway, and The Beautiful Ones was supposed to be the first in a series of books. So, it's sad that we don't get to hear everything that Prince wanted to say.
That is unfortunate, but I look forward to reading.
Yep. Absolutely.
So this morning, David and I spent time at a McDonald's in the kitchen. You know, not generally where we hang out. I never worked in fast food. Have you? Had you?
No, I had not.
So this was a brand new experience for us. And you may be asking yourself, gee, Jor, why did you and David spend time in a McDonald's kitchen? Well, because David said something dumb on the air a few weeks ago. And one of the owners of a McDonald's heard it. And we got invited in. Here's what David said. It's a Beyond Meat patty.
And it's fried. So
well,
is it,
I guess, however, I don't know how they cook them. They put them on that.
Yeah.
They're not like deep fried. They just put them on the sizzle thing. I don't know.
The
how
sizzle
do they
thing?
Make them at
the
McDonald's?
Sizzle thing?
I never worked at McDonald's. It's not kosher.
You mean a grill?
Yeah, that.
The sizzle thing?
But is it a grill?
They take them out of that plastic tray and put them in the microwave for 15 seconds.
There you go, in the microwave. So they're not even frying them. So that's even better. They're going in the microwave.
I want to hear more about the sizzle thing.
They were fried last month at a factory in Ohio.
Okay.
So there's that. Now you're really making it sound delicious, David.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so they're not fried. They're not microwaved. So the owners, Jim Duvall and his family, his sons own a bunch of franchise, a bunch of McDonald's out in Cottage Grove. And they said, come and see how it's done. And we did. You can see all of the videos on Facebook and on Twitter, on CCO, on Paul and Jordana, at Jordana WCCO on Twitter. We had a great time, and we got an education.
I feel just a little bit vindicated because McDonald's does have a microwave. They saw the McDonald's microwave. They use it to heat some of their breakfast items like pancakes.
That's right.
The burgers, however, are not frozen, especially the quarter pounders. They come into the restaurant as fresh patties.
That's right.
And they are cooked on a machine that I think they call a sizzle machine.
A sizzle thing.
I think so.
They call it a
sizzle
thing.
You judged it. Like a grill is like in your backyard and it has slats. No. I wouldn't call it a grill. I would call it
a sizzle thing.
It's like George Foreman-esque. And they can do several burgers at the same time. And they cook that quarter pounder in 75 seconds.
That's
and you and I got to do that. And that's what you can see on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
If you ever wondered what goes on at the back end of a McDonald's, that's what goes on. It was very interesting. It is a well-oiled machine.
And you said this guy had a similar story to my pathetic story when the manager took me aside and said, Paul, we're going to give you a nickel raise here at McDonald's, but you're not management material. We are not sending you to Hamburger U. At the time, I was really depressed.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
No future in hamburgers
for
you,
buddy. Said this guy had kind of a similar story,
Well, one of the owners also said, he goes, yeah, I've been told that by managers before. And now he owns a bunch of McDonald's.
Yeah.
So no.
Got the last laugh.
Sometimes you just have dumb managers.
Yeah. Well,
they
there's a lot,
about the two
lot of that going around.
Yeah. So thanks to the Duvalls. It was great fun. Our other trender today is breasts.
What?
Two women flash their breasts from behind the backstop during Game 5 of the World Series, and they have been banned. According to Fox Sports and the Associated Press, banned from Major League
You sure that
ballpark.
Wasn't a signal, maybe some sort of a special signal
Oh, you're saying
to
like
the pitcher?
What to throw, what the pitcher should throw?
Yeah,
exactly. No, Major League Baseball sent the women a letter shortly after the escapade on Sunday night. Julia Rose and Lori Summer said they are, you know, popular Instagram folks, and they were trying to raise money on their site for women who are struggling with breast cancer and need to pay the bills. In fact, they said they have a digital magazine called Shag Mag. So there's that. And they were trying to help pay off a woman's medical bills because a subscription to their Shag Mag site would result in the proceeds going directly to the women with breast cancer. But Major League Baseball said, whatever, but you cannot come back. They said, quote, the fans were involved in exposing themselves during Game 5 of the World Series. It violated our national fans' code of conduct. As a result, they were removed from the stadium and are suspended indefinitely from attending a Major League Baseball ballpark or facility.
And one of our callers called in to complain primarily about you, Jordana.
Yeah, well, generally, that's how it goes here.
But the word that the news stations are using is banned.
Yeah.
The B word, banned.
That's
banned indefinitely.
Said.
From all stadiums
and
facilities.
So do not free the nipple at any local Major League Baseball parks
because
they won't allow it. I support the hashtag free the nipple campaign, but don't do it because you'll never get to go to a baseball.
You've never done it.
I haven't done it.
Okay.
But, you know, again, if these women want to do it, I'm fine with that.
You have the freedom to do it. But you can do anything once.
Once.
Yeah.
Right. But not at a Major League Baseball game because then you can't go back.
Well.
So now we know. Now we know, Paul.
Okay.
So now we know.
I wrote this down.
Now we know.
Going to keep my shirt on.
You know better, you do better.
What if it was a dude?
Well, that's legal. You can have your naked, sweaty, man boob body out. But if you're a woman, you can't. That's the ridiculous double standard
of
all of this.
That makes no sense.
Of course it doesn't. That's why there is a free
the nipple
campaign.
If big dude flashed his boobs.
Yeah, I don't want to see his man boobs either, but he wouldn't get kicked
out. More troubling.
But I guarantee Major League Baseball would not kick him out.
Life isn't fair.
Free the nipple.
Never has been. Never will be.
It's 5:18. When we get back, is Corey Heppala going to stiff us again, or is he ready to go?
Oh.
He's ready to go.
Oh, wow.
We are going to talk about spanking with Corey Heppala. Spanking kids.
Spanking Corey Heppala? What?
Talk about spanking with Corey
I did not approve this segment.
That's next.
Paul and Jordana.
How did they discipline?
Not the way we discipline. Or the way you were disciplined. Yeah, you know, I would get corporal punishment. Isn't that what we call it?
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Like you get, you know, you get the belt.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's Corey Heppala and Camille on their podcast. Hey, They Grow Up So Fast. And Corey's joining us now to talk about, I guess their topic was discipline this week. Corey, thanks for joining
us. Corey.
Hey, guys. Yeah, the title was, You Should Have Been Hit When You Were a Kid. That's because that was a line from Camille. That was her was her go-to line. Yeah.
So you were not spanked as a child,
attitude.
Corey, when you were little?
No? No, I wasn't.
But obviously Camille was, right?
Yeah, she was. And she goes into detail in the podcast maybe more than spanked. I think we kind of designated it wasn't just spanked. It was, you know, I think maybe people were asking this morning when we were talking about it, well, is spanking the same thing as hitting? And, well, she was spanked, but she was hit too. You know, belt, spoon, you know. So I think for her, we had – it's weird because, you know, she's – her parents are Jamaican, and my parents are both from Minnesota, and both had different we've had so many similar things in the way that we were brought up, Camille and I. I mean, you talk about Christianity and organized homes and emphasis on education and all those things. We have so much in common, which has been so unique to find out as we've been together. But this was one thing that was very different, the way we were brought up in terms of discipline.
So how are you and will you raise your kids? I mean, are you committed to not using corporal punishment? Or, I mean, how do you split that?
Yeah. First, I should say it's not that we think we have all the answers and that our way is the only way, and that's certainly not the case. But we decided early on that we won't spank. Like, we're not going to spank. We're not going to hit. And that doesn't mean you don't get angry. I think we, as parents, like Camille and I, both try to, calm and listen and get them to understand. And no, that doesn't mean they don't get punished. They get punished, you know, but things get taken away, right? So that they know that the things that they've done are wrong and that they don't get everything they want. And we're trying to teach those valuable lessons, but just by not using physical force. And, you know, I think Camille, she details it, you know, pretty, goes into pretty much pretty fine detail on the podcast, but just says, you know, it really affected her relationship with her parents. Like, she loves her parents, and her mom passed away sadly 7 years ago, and she had a good relationship with her mom, very good, but it was never like as tight as maybe her mom wanted it to be, especially as she got older. And she kind of thinks that it goes back to that, you know. And she kind of maintains it was like a cultural thing. But it was kind of like they were told to be seen but not heard. And if they got out of line, like for her in particular, was you scared, you know? And where, like, for me, I was never scared. I mean, my dad was the counter. He was like, you know, one, two, and he never had to get to three. I just, the threat enough was enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, but still some lingering resentment. I would think that maybe a digital spanking might be the most effective thing today. You know, take away your kid's phone for yep. 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, and that might be punishment enough. I was spanked. Were you spanked?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, I guess maybe more. My mom used to throw stuff at us.
Ooh.
You know, like she, it's funny, wooden spoon, like she whipped a spoon at my sister's head once. She
Whoa.
Threw a ceramic bowl at me. So, yeah, there was some anger issues
that,
there.
That's kind of heavy
yeah.
duty.
Yeah, so
did you ever confront her on that?
Yeah, we joke
as,
about
as
it.
Adults?
I mean, like, the three of us, my siblings and I, make fun of her now about it. Like, Mom, remember yeah. that time you threw the ceramic bowl at my head for feeding a cat? You know, like that. So, yeah. So, absolutely. And we think of it as more of a joke now because she missed. I don't know if that was just bad aim.
Wow.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I mean, it wasn't funny, and I would not consider throwing a bowl at my children.
No.
But I think any parent, at some point in their parenting, is confronted with the fact, like, I want to smack this kid, you know, like you get so angry and
sure.
they push your buttons to such a level that I think you'd be hard pressed to find a parent who hasn't thought about it because you're
yeah.
just, you get to the brink
oh, yeah.
because that's the nature of children. You know, I mean, unless you're not responsible for any of their discipline and you're just, they walk all over you, you know, but
yeah.
if you are responsible for disciplining them, you do get to that point because they will push you. And it, when you get to that point, that's when you get to decide whether or not you're going to spank your kids. And I wish everybody the best in passing that test.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Jordana, I think every kid is kind of different, too. And parents are different. And, you know, one thing that I admire about my parents is that they were able to balance that all really well. Like my sister and I, and maybe it was just in our personality, but my sister and I, we were, you know, we didn't want to get in trouble. We didn't want to disappoint. And so we didn't ever put, I mean, it's not that we were perfect, but we didn't push over the boundaries, you know, where we're in big trouble. So it just, I, you know, but I look at.
Would your parents agree with that you didn't push the boundaries?
Yeah, they would. They would.
They would. Okay.
They would say that, you know, like, I mean, of course, it's not like we were sassy and we were, mm-hmm. you know, but like, they never got in, like, the principal didn't call my house or, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, we didn't get into any, like, significant trouble, either of us, you know? And I don't know, but my parents are just, they were really good listeners at an early age. They were always kind of under control. And that's just something that we try to maintain now, too, as parents. And I'm really close to my parents, have been since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But they balanced that where we knew they were in charge. We respected their authority. And when they said no, they meant no. But yet they were also there for us. And we knew that they were there to listen and support and love. And that's just maintained even to this day. Like, it just, you know, my mom's probably listening right now. Like, she just listens to everything we do. Like, mm-hmm. she's just a big time fan, you know?
I mean, I guess you're lucky if you have kids that don't push the boundaries.
Hey, Corey, we're going to pivot just slightly, and I'm just curious if you think the Penn State Nittany Lions are going to spank the Minnesota Gophers.
Nice. Well done.
I don't know if it's going to be a spanking. I'm actually scared to death of this game. I root for the Gophers every single game, unless and until they play my alma mater, the Nittany Lions. Look, the AP poll, I think we're number five. I don't think we're not playing like a number five team. The Gophers are the real deal, and I'm not going to trash talk them or take anything away from them. They have earned their position on the AP top 20, and they're a force to be reckoned with. I thought this was going to be a cupcake game at the beginning of the season. I no longer think that. I don't think any Penn State fan thinks that. This is going to be a tough, tough game.
Oh, let me tell you, Paul, thank you for the respect, but there are not a lot of Penn State fans that are respecting the Gophers right now. I saw this tweet on the Barstool Penn State that said, look at how pathetic Gopher fans are for trying to get College Game Day at their stadium and in their city. It's pathetic. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So it's got ramped up now. On, man.
It's going to be a good game. Both teams have a lot of depth. I mean, we'll see how things play out. But look, if the Gophers win, I am prepared to ship you a couple of pints of peachy Paterno ice cream from the Penn State. Actually, they make their own ice cream. They have something called the Berkey Creamery, which is quite famous. Ben and Jerry actually learned how to make ice cream at the Berkey Creamery at Penn State.
So you say.
That is our claim to fame. Our only claim to fame. But I will send you some of this peachy Paterno ice cream, which is quite amazing. Now, you have to tell me what you're going to ship me if the Gophers don't win.
Okay, so if Minnesota loses. So if Penn State So if the Gophers win, I'm getting some of this great ice cream.
Yes, you are.
If the Gophers lose, okay, how about, you know, being from Perm, KLN Family Brands does all this candy, like Wiley Wallaby's licorice, all this great, great candy that's from, you know, right here in Minnesota, from my hometown in Perm. How about that? I'll give you something unique from Perm, a bunch of licorice and whatever else I can unearth.
Enough for Halloween next year? Enough to hand out to the kids?
I will be fair. Yeah, I won't skimp.
Because I'm
be fair.
I'm spending real money because they got to send this out in a refrigerated container from Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. So, you know, it's not cheap, but I want to do it right. And, yeah, that sounds like a deal to me, Corey.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. Good. I don't have to go as far for mine.
Yeah.
But, I'll make it worth your while. I'm hoping that I don't have to worry about it. But
Look, I'm hoping for a good game. I think it's going to be a good game. And kudos to the Gophers for getting the respect. They should be getting respect from everybody because they've earned it. And we'll see what happens here coming up on what? That's
right.
November 9th,
the boat.
Right?
Skyima.
Yeah.
Skyima.
All right, dude. Thanks, Corey.
Corey, thanks. You can listen to Corey's podcast at WCCORadio.com. You know, this is shocking. Majority of Americans workers think their job is bad or mediocre. Do you? Let's talk next.
Paul and Jordana.
Jordana and Paul, David Josephson at the helm. Boy, it's been a fun day. We started off at McDonald's. You can see all of our videos, our McDonald's videos on Facebook and at Jordana WCCO on Twitter. And we have a great job. David and I get to do, and you too, when you're not sick, we get to do fun stuff. Right?
Did I tell you I coughed a few times on your microphone when you weren't went to the bathroom?
So then you know what? Then I'm going to be out for the next week like a wimp, then you have to do the show yourself.
You don't want this. You do not want what I had.
I don't. No, I don't.
Losing your voice, I don't know. You'd lose your mind if you lost your voice.
The point of the story that I was telling before you interrupted me with the germ sharing was that we have a great job. We like our job. It's fun. We get to do really cool stuff. I even told my kids what I was doing today. They're like, oh my gosh, that is super fun.
I think listeners might be intrigued to hear that management doesn't come to us and say, hey, you got to talk about this. Or you better mention this. Or you better have this interview on. Ultimately, we are accountable. Mm-hmm. But we get to choose the kinds of stories we want to have in our show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to live or die based on those stories that we pick, and were they in fact good stories? But it's nice because that was not television. I know your TV career, more consultants.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it was much more formatted, rigid. You didn't have as much freedom. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm waving the flag, but that's how I feel.
Back to the liking of the job. A Gallup poll shows a full 60% of U.S. workers don't like their job. They describe it as mediocre or bad. 60% of us, you guys, describe your job as mediocre or bad. Now, our economy's great. The job market is tight. You'd think if you don't like it, you can go find another job because there is probably a better one out there for you. We have historically low unemployment rates, and still, we're not happy. The poll asked 6,600 workers about benefits, pay, autonomy, as Paul was mentioning, opportunity to advance, and job security.
And two-thirds of those people interviewed, Jor, said their pay has gone up, their salary has gone up, but they're still not happy. So it's not just the Benjamins. Especially with younger people, we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a paycheck. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do you stand for? I want to be proud of the company I work for.
Right. So we want to hear your experience. A, are you stuck in a bad job or a mediocre job? Were you? And then how did you get out of it? And maybe do you believe this poll? 651-989-9226 is our number. 651-989-9226 is our number. According to this poll, less than half of U.S. workers are in good jobs, right? As we mentioned, 40%. 44% mediocre, 16% hate their jobs. 16% of people who go to a job every day hate their job. There are remedies to that, by the way. I understand it might be survival for you if you're not liking that job, but you can get another job. You really can't. We were even talking to the folks at McDonald's today, and they said they can't keep workers. They're always looking for new people. It's hard to find people, even minimum wage or just above minimum wage jobs. It is hard to find good people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jobs out there. That's right. Only a third of those in bad jobs responded that they had a high quality of life. So, yeah, if you have a bad job, the place you spend at least 8 hours of your day every day, and it's bad and you hate it, of course you're not going to have a good quality of life.
But there's no such thing. Just a little balance here. I mean, they call it work
for
a reason, right?
It is work.
And there is no perfect gig. Maybe retirement is the perfect gig.
And then people lose purpose, though. Sometimes.
Some of the happiest people that live the longest and are most satisfied are people that work as long as they can, not because they have to, but because they love it. It gives them a sense of purpose.
Are you happy in your job? 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Dan's in Maple Grove. Dan, what's your work situation?
I think it's kind of hard in the industry. Is it just you've got the employers know it's a hard job market, so they're probably not being as tough on the employees, and they're kind of letting them get away with more. So it's actually harder for me because I'm working with a bunch of people that are kind of abusing the current job market.
Huh.
So I'd love for my employer to fire a bunch of people, but they can't because there's no one to replace them. So I'm kind of going on that angle.
So people are getting complacent in their jobs.
I hadn't heard that, but that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Instead of having the A players or A-plus players, you've got C players, and C players tend to attract other C players, and pretty soon you have a mediocre business. Interesting.
Correct.
So, Dan, are you unhappy with your gig right now?
I wouldn't say I'm unhappy, but all that other aspect, I think, kind of drags the entire company down. Therefore, it doesn't make me happy at the same time.
See, that's interesting. Yeah. And certainly your coworkers definitely affect how you feel about your job. Dan, great call. Yeah, thank you for the call, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. And, good luck, sir.
Thank you.
You know, and different perspective. You know, if people are just hanging there because they know the job market's tight and they're less, everyone's replaceable. But if they're less replaceable, you know, they're just chilling.
And of course, you can always start your own company or you try. Can. But that brings a whole nother set of challenges and problems. You know, trying to stay married when you're trying to make payroll, it's tough. But I know a lot of people get so fed up, like Dan, that they just say, the heck with this. I'm going to go off and do something on my own.
And probably a good time in our country to do something like that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did you ever hate a job so much you quit?
Oh, boy. Some of the early jobs.
Yeah.
Some of the early jobs. The dishwashing job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I quit that one.
Yeah, and that does
happen. I quit for something better, like everybody else, right? Something better came along, and I didn't jump ship until I knew that this was better. Not only did it pay better, but I liked the manager. I liked the people a little bit more.
This is discouraging, though, because when I hear 60% of U.S. workers are stranded in mediocre or bad jobs, I don't necessarily believe that they're stranded. Because there's another better job out there.
There is, but in many cases,
it's fear, Paul.
There's fear of the unknown, but there may be a job 500 miles away that's better. But in many cases, people are stuck, right? Maybe they're taking care of older parents. They can't just pick up and leave. People are depending on them physically to be there.
I guess, but it doesn't mean you can't get a different job.
They've got kids in a great school district, and they don't want to rip their kids out. So I'm just saying, it's not always black and white, cut and dried.
I guess I always think there's always a solution, you know, that if you keep your kids in that school district and drive them to school or carpool to school. Like, I just feel like there's always a solution if you're miserable at your job. I'm really against victimhood. So if people are like, oh, I hate my job, but I can't. Mm-mm.
But I think you hit it. I think it's fear of the unknown is the number one challenge.
Susan St. Paul. Sue, what's your job situation? Do you agree with this poll?
I don't. I think, you know, when you make a certain amount of money, you're sometimes stuck because you can't go make that lateral move or make more because you're at such a high level. And that kind of leaves you stuck. And I think people don't leave jobs. They leave supervisors or management or lack of management. And I think that isn't addressed enough.
That's interesting.
Good comment.
That's
Sue.
Really interesting. That's a good thought. Sue. Yeah, I hear you and I do feel you on that. Thanks for the call, Sue. You know, she does make a good point. We're talking about upper echelon. You're talking about people who make good money.
Right.
They do feel like it's like the golden handcuffs. You don't want to leave, even though maybe it's not your passion anymore.
And in many cases, the people that brought you into a gig, this has been my experience. The people that believe in you, that hired you, they move on. And now you're stuck with some schmuck, some new person that comes in who may or may not share the same ideals, the stuff that brought you to that company.
Dale's in Lester Prairie. Jump in here, Dale. What's your situation?
Okay, it's health insurance. You're stuck in a job. That's where your benefits are to leave. You get COBRA for a month, and you probably get a month extension on it. But that's a lot of it. You can't move from one job to another. It costs you so much money.
That's a good point.
Yeah, the health of that is an excellent point. Dale,
nobody wants
thanks
to
for,
lose health
thanks
insurance.
For chiming in. Sean's in Brooklyn Park. What's your situation, Sean?
Well, you know, I work for Hennepin County, and I've got the greatest job on earth.
I love that. So you're happy. What do you do?
Oh, well, I'm what they call a scale master. I scale in commercial vehicles into our power plant. Okay. On a daily basis from 3 a.m. till 10:30 a.m.
That's tough hours.
What do you like about your job? What keeps you there?
Well, I tell you, it's I don't have to deal with anybody. I have no management to deal with. I've got no other co-workers to deal with other than the plant workers that come in from time to time. I'm kind of like my own little island. You know, run the mothership like I like you know, Captain Kirk would.
But it takes a special person to do the job you do, and you have that set of skills and the personality to fit it. So you are in your right space.
Wow, good on you, Sean. Good for you,
man. Yeah, great. you know, I love it. I deal with, you know, about 250 different truckers in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I see all kinds of different personalities from, you know, from happy to sad to people who like their job, who don't like their job.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happen to really enjoy mine. It's I couldn't ask for anything better.
You're like a high-tech greeter. That's cool. I mean, we should all have a job like that.
Sean, thank you for leaving us on a good note. We really appreciate it. And I love the positivity there. You know, that's
absolutely
an unusual job, and he is embracing it and finding the good and loving it. Good on you, Sean.
Glad we ended on
an
upbeat note.
Awesome. Talking about a study that says 60% of Americans are unhappy. They feel like they have a mediocre or a bad job, which saddens me because this is a great job market. Me, I say get out while you can. Mike in Minneapolis has a story about getting out. Hey, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, I'm fairly happy with my job. You know, I could do something different, I suppose, but I'm getting close to the brass ring, so, you know, I'm just going to stick it out. But anyway, there was a job years ago that it felt so good to leave. We were I was working with a bunch of guys on a construction project, and we were all independent contractors and working on this new office space for this guy, and he was just mean, and on a Saturday he came in and he started giving some guy grief because the guy had a beer with his burger at lunch.
Oy.
And big deal, and he was giving the guy grief and telling him he had to leave. So all of us, there were about 30 of us there. When that guy left, we all packed up our trucks and left.
Wow.
Mass walkout.
On a weekend.
Oh.
You finish it, pal.
Yeah.
You have your grand opening party on Sunday night, and good luck.
That's great. Good for you.
He was not pleased.
It still feels good.
Yeah.
So satisfying, right? Yeah. Wow. Good for you. And, Mike, good luck with that brass ring, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike, for listening.
Thanks for listening. Good. You got to love stories like that.
It does feel good
every now and then
to say, take this job and shut.
I'm happy for Mike.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what's coming up tomorrow?
That is a very good
assuming
question.
We're still here.
It is Wednesday coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk a little Timberwolves because we are off early. Timberwolves game starts at 5:30 tomorrow. So we'll certainly talk with Mike Max about that.
Okay.
A little more about the athletes getting paid.
Look, we hear a lot about income inequality, and yes, It's a real thing, but we want to try to end the show.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to do this every day?
We're going to try.
All right.
Let's see
how it goes. But again, we're drowning in negativity out there. What was it? I think it was Spiro Agnew. Do you remember? No, you're too young. You're way too young.
A little bit.
He would call the media nagging nabobs of negativity. But look, there's a lot of negativity. Some of it warranted, some of it not. But there's some good stuff happening. Did you know, Jor, in the last 20 years, the proportion of people worldwide living in extreme poverty has been cut in half?
Really? That's a lot of people, Paul.
It is. And again, we hear about we hear about the negative.
Mm-hmm.
News, by definition, tends to be mostly negative. 200 years ago, 85% of the world lived in extreme poverty.
Wow. 85. David, you know about that. You visited Haiti every year.
Yeah, I've seen some places that are, you know, among the poorest in this side of the hemisphere. But wow, to think that large of a percentage lived at that
85%.
Level.
85%. Wow. 20 years ago, again, it was 29%.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's about 9% of people worldwide live in extreme poverty, which is still 9% too high.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of people worldwide, 75%, live in middle-income countries and making a middle-class living. So is it perfect? No. Is it getting better? Yeah.
And see, the segment we just did is one of those first-world problems because you have a job, you can pay the bills, you're just not in love with your job.
Right.
You think it's mediocre or bad. And I'm never an advocate to stay in a bad job just for the money or just to get by. I understand the golden handcuff situation. I really do. But this is what we're talking about. Oh, well, I have a job, but I don't like my job. But yet so many people are living in poverty or extreme poverty. And yes, it's good to be reminded that we should be grateful we live in a place where we can go get another job.
And don't have to worry about clean water.
Yeah.
or where we're going to get our next meal, or will there be a roof over my head tonight? Still a lot of people facing challenges, troubles. We get that. But if you step back, in many, many respects, things are, in fact, getting better out there.
Not if you're 14 years old and want to go trick-or-treating, because you could get a fine if you're over 14 and want to trick-or-treat. Oh, yeah. We will talk about that tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Paul and Jordana.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.